tape ended abruptly, so I better repeat a little bit of it. So what is hard to understand about this? Helping is not the same thing as being an employee, much less a paid executive. I think the reporter is worse than remiss in his duties of research, as Eckers are not listed as top officers in anything. They offered service and no longer participate in much of anything. They do not claim to be on food stamps. They are on food stamps, thanks to Mr. Green and buddies, investigated by several federal agencies to be not only eligible to receive, but receive. Yes, indeed, I believe the criminal litigation will be far more interesting than is this so-called civil dispute, using the stupidity of space cadets to discredit opposition. These things always backfire. George, and now that you play with the major intelligence forces, you are getting more and more bound into the intrigue of their displeasure at your antics. Carl Sagan of MJ-12. Indeed, he is a member of MJ-12. This introduction is connected with something called Alternative 3 and was written as an introduction to A Brief History of Time by a most honored scientist, Stephen Hawking. This is a quote now. We go about our daily lives understanding almost nothing of the world. We give little thought to the machinery that generates the sunlight that makes life possible, to the gravity that glues us to an earth that would otherwise send us spinning off into space, or to the atoms of which we are made and on whose stability we fundamentally depend. Except for children, who don't know enough not to ask the important questions, few of us spend much time wondering why nature is the way it is, where the cosmos came from, or whether it was always here, if time will one day flow backwards and effects precede causes, or whether there are ultimate limits to what humans can know. There are even children, and I have met some of them, who want to know what a black hole looks like. What is the smallest piece of matter? Why we remember the past and not the future? How it is, if there was chaos early, that there is apparently order today, and why there is a universe. In our society, it is still customary for parents and teachers to answer most of the questions with a shrug and with an appeal to vaguely recalled religious precepts. Some are uncomfortable with issues like these because they so vividly expose the limitations of human understanding. But much of philosophy and science has been driven by such inquiries. An increasing number of adults are willing to ask questions of this sort, and occasionally they get some astonishing answers. Equidistant from the atoms and the stars, we are expanding our exploratory horizons to embrace both the very small and the very large. In the spring of 1974, about 2 years before the Viking spacecraft landed on Mars, I was at a meeting in England, sponsored by the Royal Society of London, to explore the question of how to search for extraterrestrial life. During a coffee break, I noticed that a much larger meeting was being held in an adjacent hall, which, out of curiosity, I entered. I soon realized that I was witnessing an ancient rite, the investiture of new fellows into the Royal Society, one of the most ancient scholarly organizations on the planet. In the front row, a young man in a wheelchair was, very slowly, signing his name in a book that bore on its earliest pages the signature of Isaac Newton. When at last he finished, there was a stirring ovation. Stephen Hawking was a legend even then. Hawking is now the Lucasian Professor of Mathematics at Cambridge University, a post once held by Newton and later by P.A.M. Dirac, two celebrated explorers of the very large and the very small. He is their worthy successor. This, Hawking's first book for the non-specialist, holds rewards of many kinds for the lay audience. As interesting as the book's wide-ranging contents is the glimpse it provides into the workings of its author's mind. In this book are lucid revelations on the frontiers of physics, astronomy, cosmology, and courage. This is also a book about God, or perhaps about the absence of God. The word God fills these pages. Hawking embarks on a quest to answer Einstein's famous question about whether God had any choice in creating the universe. Hawking is attempting, as he explicitly states, to understand the mind of God, and this makes all the more unexpected the conclusion to the effort, at least so far. A universe with no edge in space, no beginning or end in time, and nothing for a creator to do. Now, the introduction was signed by Carl Sagan, Cornell University, Ithaca, New York. Then there were some writings in the margin done by Ron Jackson, I believe, which were entitled Lesson.
Ken Barden.
Well, it came just read them. Don't try to explain them, just read them.
All right. If E equals MC squared, relativity, and E equals IR, material, then E equals TS, time/space, which is spiritual. Not bad. May the force be with you. In information offering, there is never enough of information or time or space. However, the limitations of your perceptions causes us to honor all three. So be it. Thank you for your attention. You can build bridges to cross rivers with sticks and stones, but the bridge to infinity is built with thought, light, and energy. Strangely enough, the very components of the working manifestation of God. Good morning, Hatton Duclair.
Thank you. Infinity is a long, long time. Most of infinity is spent in a spiritual state. Spiritual state meaning energy form, not how you feel about religion or the possibilities related to religion. Until you can comprehend that there is a separation between that which appears to you in manifested form and that which is in the invisible realm of the universe, you can't bridge that gap. Further, while you are trying to tinker on the small little details, the larger comprehensive mass eludes you. You must move from the physical environment as you perceive it to be into an etheric state of presentation, whether that be good or bad in your perception, whether that be a positive step forward in cosmic reality or simply more of the stupid same. You can look around you and see that man as a physical being does not last very long. How long is a century, if you can make it that long as an individual? Not very, when you are considering timeless infinity. So you must understand that it is only a sequence of events, which may or may not be repeated quickly, or maybe for eons, but it will be repeated. That is the one known in energy form, in soul presentation. You have infinity. There are ways of dispersing the energy, the structure, the blueprint of the entity. But you can only change matter into energy, energy into higher energy. It just doesn't go away. You're just dispersed. There is no edge to the universe, as Mr. Sagan says. and to go searching for something, like looking and finding extraterrestrials, is silly, isn't it? Searching is like trying. My goodness, you just never have to find, do you? It's like looking for a cure for any of your major diseases. You just look and look and look and look and spend and spend and spend, and you don't find. It's not advantageous to find. And when you find truth, the first bunch of your peers are going to laugh at you. You know, mothers died simply because physicians did not wash their hands. How simple a solution. Go scrub your hands. Wash out your ears. Clean out your eyes. And more especially, adjust your mind. Because you're missing it. You must turn to your children. They are all you have. Let us assume everything goes as it has. You're going to perish. Transition. Ascend, whatever you want to call it. Who is left to run this planet? Who is left to see to it that you get home? That does not mean you get on your knees, parents, and bow to those kids. It means you discipline them. I didn't say beat them up. Yesterday I spent time responding, and this always ticks a bunch off, that I would not answer all of these most important questions on universal cosmic intelligence, and I would spend a writing to a child. I got a petition in the mail day before yesterday from a child, 8 years old. He was completely distressed, more distressed than his little letter could reflect. All around him, he comes from a large family of children, and they fight all the time. Quite frankly, quite typical. You know, these ones that hate each other and grow the bonds of brotherhood later. But it's painful. And it reaps its reward of insecurity on the younger ones who are kind of pushed aside. Just get out of my way. Get out of my way. And parents are weary. The first three children may make it through the door, but the little one's pushed aside. And finally, he makes it through the door about the time that mother's had all she can stomach. So he catches it all. This young man's name is Kenneth. He's very precious to me. And he expresses for all of you of every age. Just because you get to be 80 or 70 or 60 does not mean that your soul doesn't cry out for peace and brotherhood and a little love and what is going to happen to me. And I feel like crying. And they make fun of me because I cry, but it makes me want to cry to listen to them. And then P.S. I'm so thankful for the lighted ones. Me too, Kenneth. I wish that Brent would read that writing of yesterday because you won't have a paper. And I think you all need it. You are in a soul battle. All the rest that you have around you is totally 100% unimportant, except for the lessons learned. And that is energy. And you better learn to know the difference But we get so centered on these miserable problems. And after this, we'll take a little break, and when we come back, let's spend some time on Constitution and possibility of progress. But let's go into break with a little bit of boosting to our spiritual needs.
Friday, September 9th, 1994. First in importance to Kenneth R., 8 years old. To my most beloved friend, thank you for sharing with me. Kenneth, life is not a romp through the garden of thornless roses wherein ones are beautiful to one another. It has very little to do with actual feelings when ones quarrel and poke and pick with one another. It is a time of hard lessons and confusion on your planet as you begin to realize your journey's tasks and joys. Some of you are elders in our family and have moved back to a place of service. You have possibly outgrown the need to quarrel, but I think not, son. If you feel as if you must cry over these distasteful incidents, do so, for to choke it down only causes pressures which increase the burden. We must allow others their way of being and not allow it to burden our own hearts. God is love, son, and when you know that, you can begin to smile at the silly goings-on around you and still feel secure in the love you know is there for you. I ask that a special tape be sent to you, which was done at my request some years back. It is about dreaming and visions, a spaceship ride into relaxation and dreams in beauty and sharing. It may take a few days to locate the master tape, for it was made for a special friend, and we call it Fairy Grandmother's Tape. When you can't sleep, and as these things of life burden and sadden one's thoughts, it helps to go into your own beauteous place for a while. Also, son, when we can better tell timing of the gathering, we will let you know in time. I know where you are. In great love and friendship, Granddad Hatton. P.S. I too am thankful for the lighted ones. I thank you, readers, for the patience to allow this particular message. It is for all of you who weary at the journey. But the perception of this 8-year-old who is distressed by the quarreling among siblings and within his life is expressive of all of you. It is a hard time through which you are passing. It is intended by the adversary that is working for one world control that it be this way with quarrels, family turmoil, and pain and chaos, contradictions, confusion, and total restlessness with lack of direction clearly discerned. You must attend these children, for who will lead your nation and our people if not them? Further, we must hold strong that they are able to have moral standards and desire to serve in constitutional law, that which is just and equal to all. These children can no longer gather the fuel and balance from any of the public systems, none. The churches are corrupted in almost all instances as they modernize to suit the current generation. No. It is to rewrite the Bibles wherein the religions become the total presentment of Satan. It is insipid, hidden, gradual, and unnoticed until it is too late to change direction. The same holds true for the educational system and all other public systems. It is a time of unrest and total mind manipulation. To salvage your nation, you must turn again and reclaim your republic. Democracy is not an answer ever. You have further passed through democracy and into rule by elite one-worlders through corruption and force. Blessed are the children, for they are the kingdom of heaven, corrupted by man. Until you can understand this and accept responsibility for their balanced survival, you cannot even hope for freedom, for you will have no one to lead, no one in truth to serve. Have you loved your children today? That they may in turn love you, so be it. It is long since forgotten that the reality of life is not on your crippled shores of physical presentation. You want to keep your guns to guard your houses and your property, so be it. But I wonder, what have you in these houses? What is it you guard so closely with locked and bolted doors? Do you not remember some of the gleaming arches that span the summits of the mind and allow you to recall the glory of your freedom? Where is the perception of beauty that leads the heart from things fashioned of wood and stone to the holy mountain, the peaks touching God and universe. What is it you capture in these houses of yours? Is it only comfort and the lust after more and more comfort and luxury, security, survival? What is it, and in what priority of care and thought? Do these things first enter as a bit of joy at holding that steals into the house, as first a guest and then becomes a host, and then the master? Ah, readers, this physical desire for power, things, and comfort catches you on a hook as a fish. It brings you to the heel of the tamer with hook and scourge, and reduces to puppets your larger desires, goals, and directions. Though these hands seem silken and enticing, tempting and desirable, its heart is of steel encasing stone. This bully lulls you to sleep only to stand by your bedside and jeer it at that of the flesh and wasting soul. It makes mock of your audible senses and lays them in silken down like fragile vessels from which the threads become so strong there is no breaking them once they have formed into the chains of shackles. Ah! But heed me now, for you children of space, you restless in rest, you shall not be trapped nor tamed. Your house shall not be an anchor, but a mast with which to sail. It shall not be some gleaming film that covers a wound, but an eyelid that guards the eye. You shall not fold your wings that you may pass through doors, nor bend your heads that they strike not against a ceiling, nor fear to breathe lest walls should crack and fall upon you. You shall not dwell in tombs made by the dead for the living. Though magnificence and splendor becomes your house, it shall not hold your secret nor shelter your longing. It is but a place to dwell for the passing of the experience in the schoolroom of expression. For that which is boundless and limitless within you abides in the mansions beyond that which you call sky, whose door is the morning mist upon the infinite, and whose windows are the songs and silences as in the softness of star-filled night. If your heart is in pain and thoughts of failure or misdeeds settle hard about you, go within in a place of beauty and allow your heart to remember that God rests in reason. You need not make tales to cover the barren silence, which must be confronted in truth. Reason in God, and the reasons shall be in truth. Truth gives freedom as no other thing or being can present. Grief for loss or pain when it be present, but do not long dwell in the self-pity of what may be about you, for you control that which you perceive in every instance. Your reason and your passion are the rudder and the sails of your seafaring soul, beloved ones. If either your sails or your rudder be broken, there is no way to avoid the tossing and drifting hither and yon at the whim of that which whirls around you, or you will simply be held at standstill in the middle of the sea. For reason, ruling alone, is a force confining, and passion, unattended, is a flame that burns to its own destruction. But if you let your soul exalt your reason to the height of passion for that which is just and right, that it may sing, it can direct your passion with reason, and your passion within may then live through its own constant resurrection like the phoenix rising above its own ashes. Ah, readers, God moves in passion, but always in reason. And since you are a breath of God in God's sphere, as a leaf in God's forest, you too shall rest in reason and move forward in passion. Can you not remember that in this very avenue of thought, that thoughts themselves are seeds? And may I remind you that you have no notion as to what can spring from one seed well planted. Though you plant only one seed, you cannot count the harvest of that seed. So plant well and choose goodly seeds, lest you have a harvest of thorns, not fruit worthy of God. Kenneth, may you be blessed, son, for you brought opportunity to speak of these things for which the soul searches. We all forget to be kind and give. Giving is not well understood, and receiving is often far more difficult in defining. Many of you can give, but are unable to feel worthy and humble in receiving that which is offered by another. It is always intent which must be pondered, the why of how you both give and receive, be it in words or deed. Pain of greater magnitude can be wrought from one terrible word Pain of greater magnitude can be wrought from one terrible word more than bombs piled upon one another. This lesson is given for Dharma and Ichē this day as well. The assaults and seemingly endless burdens pile too deep sometimes to overcome. Ichē walked right through the shadows and into life yesterday. He died as his system was compromised by overwhelming reaction. I can tell you now in the aftermath that the only thing which salvaged his physical life was the Gayatriana, which allowed for system recovery. The heart seized motion, save spasm, without ability to pump. Why was this state of affairs present? Because the stress level pounding on the body from every direction, from courts to compromise of ability to bear the burdens for so many, is too much. The body responds, and in this instance by stress, which works its way to the surface in malfunction which needs attention. Then, in seeking help for the pain of the dis-ease, wrong medication was given and the body is overwhelmed. In the instances of confrontation, there are lessons to be had, however. Enough is enough. Others will carry their share of responsibility and measure up to commitments and agreements, for the alternatives are not pleasant for you who deceive, cheat, actually steal, and think you can work in the secret places without being known. No, it is not okay. I can keep my people alive, for it is necessary to not transition just yet. But things are going to change in this sector, for my own patience is extended beyond that which is comfortable for any who would long continue this game of deceit and broken promises. Anyone can walk out of their agreements as pertains to self and mission or God. But you, who promise and take that which is used then on self in the aid of my adversary, shall reap a bitter harvest. I can promise that there shall not be a moment of peace and joy beyond the moment of choosing evil above commitment to serve truth and light. Not one single solitary moment. Ye shall reap the harvest of the sowing, and it shall be bitter indeed. Other harvests. I am asked now that harvest of our spelta is finished. Why is it not more abundant? Because of lack of thorough preparation of the womb or the land for the seeds. I also told you that you would need to phase into total non-supported food for the crops. You cannot expect a large harvest from depleted ground, and I'm sorry, good friends, NutriCarb is but dead carbon. It can give particulate help for aeration and water use, but it is basically spent material, and if not used carefully, will actually toxify the growing base. Everything in your world is a chemical of some kind, so how can you think that necessary additives are necessarily bad because they are chemically constructed? If, for instance, the nurturing soil lacks, say, sulfur, how are you going to get sulfur into depleted soil without adding it? Why did I not tell you these things? I did. However, you ones are very good at listening to others' input first. Then why bother until there is abundance and it can be done in a major way, big? Because you must know what you need, how to do it, what tools are necessary, equipment, and practice. What else would you have been doing? Always think upon these things when you feel disappointment. You cannot expect to feed the world from your small tillage, but you can have reserve, seed, and availability for utilizing grain in other applications which are being in experimentation as we write. You people have come so far beyond what appears or what you might have expected that it is yet to be seen, for you are ready. Being ready is what it is all about as we move into the ability to function in other directions than in simply presenting the word and small products along with the paper. You have created the miracle, for there was no other way to have it made this far. That also means that it is time for the ones making commitment for the forward movement to keep their agreements and commitments. Man will make his own journey and choices, but you can now move back into a republic if you choose to do so in this nation, the United States of America. Soon it will be too late. I ask very little for the needs to meet my mission of remnant growth. I have kept my promises, arranged the way, and provided the security and manifestation. It is not now acceptable that the ones in benefiting garner control in greed, presenting only lies and more gains. Crashed planes, launched shuttles, and missing payloads. Connections? Of course. Beware of earth movements now that you have mechanisms aboard that shuttle to break off California and a few other re-topographing the globe activities. Look at the weather and rainfall versus no rainfall, and thus and so. Do you still think it happenstance? What of your shuttle mission? Well, it is more important that a payload is lost from the rocket launch of yesterday. The two have to have each other to accomplish the intended mission. What of the airliner crash? I think you should watch the news very carefully. Who was on that plane? It started in Chicago, a very, very important city. Who was on it? Who was to have gotten off in Pennsylvania and ascended instead? Where was the destination? Palm Beach, Florida. That should all tell you about enough if you watch the unfolding. What is taking place in Haiti? You better look again. You are not a nice world, nor a nice nation. Have a good time invading helpless women and children in Haiti, you big bullies. I wonder sometimes that God is willing to save your assets. So why does he? Because there are enough of you who want to return to goodness and truth, and one is actually enough for God. Thank you for a relaxing morning to visit about things of other than the flesh, whether or not you realized it. Soul is the name of this game, friends, and losing it is very costly indeed. I plan to win, and any may come with me who would choose my way. However, it is time to meet responsibilities, obligations. Use your lessons in perfection, that you do not continue to blunder, and be sure to study your lessons. I find ones far more interested in other offerings of possibilities and fun games of the mind and fortunes than in truthful moving ahead with that which is. It is certainly your journey, so do that which you will. But do not expect to do it in a major role in my mission if you are playing at games instead of the work at hand. You hurt my feelings will no longer cut it when each worker and job overlaps so greatly in others. We must grow outside such self-needs, or simply step aside and allow someone with a harder shell to serve. Being sensitive is admirable, but being self-sensitive is often too destructive to the individual experiencing such attributes. As long as you are sensitive to another's needs and load, you are fine. When you focus in sensitivity to your own perceived needs and focus, you are in hot water. In love and brotherhood, salut, Hatan.
Thank you, Brent. Let's take about a 20-minute break. Salut.
Salut.
We're back on the air.
I want to, before we get into constitutional matters, I want to tell you that it's extremely, extremely tenuous along your California coast. Pay particular attention over the next few days. You are having strange light shows. There are nuclear bombs that can be detonated in your fissures. You know that. And a lot of information is coming out. You won't be getting a paper this week to catch up with the most recent information coming in. I would take just a minute and ask Ed if there's anything that he would like to share with this room so that it can go on this tape.
There are several things I could mention. The most important, though, is what Commander just said. It's very critical time right now. There is an earthquake alert from the militia of Montana, which is one of the things we will generally publish because of the quality of their information. If Commander would like, I could read that because there's some very critical and important information in there, but it's not different than what he has said.
Well, let's get it onto the record. I'd appreciate doing that.
Okay.
In your shuttle, we are responsible for the missing satellite. You had a triangulation going, and you were not going to make it on the coast of California past this weekend. And that's not going to happen, not the way that it was structured. I hope that all of you pay attention to what they tell you so that you can really, really, really understand the stupidity with which they treat you. They say this is a communications satellite that was launched from that rocket. It's missing. And then they go right on to say they are working around the clock to make sure that communications are not interrupted. Well, if you didn't have it up there in the first place, how could it interrupt anything? So you know they're lying to you right along the way, and it's a matter of bouncing off phasers. They have told you that they are practicing with lasers. These are far beyond anything that you have been toying with so far as to be lasers. And that is the way you detonate those nuclear devices in those fissures. At this point, you need a bounce-off receiver. So I think that as far as that is concerned, you're safe for a little while. They have the facilities on other satellites, but it means they've got to do some tinkering with them and some work so that they can utilize them. This one was preset, of course, to work with this system. It isn't a matter of being terrorized. It is a matter of these things are happening, and you must pay attention. So let's do get that to record, and then we can turn to the 10th Amendment.
Okay, I precede reading this with, now the commander has mentioned some of the things that he just did. Personally, this has been the busiest week I have seen on record in a long time in the sky. For those of particularly people out in tape land, there was a large bright light that was seen from somewhere around the Midwest all the way to Colorado late the night of Wednesday night into Thursday, in fact into Arizona. And then Friday morning at 6 a.m. there was a large object spotted from Oregon all the way down through Bakersfield, and it was at 6 a.m. in the morning when the sky was already getting light, so you can imagine how bright it had to be in order to be seen. And it was described as being, this same description occurred with both objects, as being whitish to greenish to bluish, back to whitish, things like that, and large. So, of course it was a meteorite. You know, all of these active items are meteorites.
Yeah.
The government has just changed the definition of a meteorite without telling you, that's all. And then also this week there has been an inordinate amount of activity of some kind in this area that is affecting the animals. The dogs around my location were howling all night. I have never heard dogs howl for 8 or 9 or 10 hours constantly for two nights in a row, Thursday night, Friday night. And then in town here, I heard of other animals in different locations doing the same thing. I have never heard that kind of a howl come out of an animal before.
Well, you've got a lot of energy being pumped around in pulse beat that's happening around Monterey. Is extremely painful to the animals. And it's coming against you. And you might keep and hearken to the signs that the elders will have told you about, and especially the oral traditions in the Dakotas, the Lakota Dakota Sioux. The white buffalo calf has returned. A white buffalo calf has been birthed. And that is a very sacred, sacred sign of the return of the white buffalo calf woman, which is only just removed from their perception of Standing Bear, which is the Christ figure, or the son of Tonka, which is the son of God. These are the times of chaos and stress. These are the times, however, that you can come together to reclaim an organized, fundamental set of rules and regulations through which you can endure this time. Let's just see if you can do it. There has been some major movements, shiftings along the New Madrid too. So you've got to keep an eye on both sides of your nation. So if you want to put that to tape, please, we'll pause and listen.
Okay, I have two possible items. One is from Cali too, which I'll get to in a minute. First one is an earthquake alert from the militia of Montana that was faxed to us on Friday, September 9, a little after 5 or 6 in the afternoon. Item number one, on the morning of September 4, 1994, a former congressional investigator with whom we work notified us that he was contacted by a congressional officer who informed him that they were put on alert for a possible earthquake off the coast of California, 7 or greater on the Richter scale. What he told us was that the earth was making a heartbeat tone and the underwater geysers' temperatures were fluctuating extremely rapidly. If this fault busts loose, a tidal wave of tremendous proportions could hit the West Coast. Now, item number two, on the afternoon of September 4, 1994, a pilot for a major airline contacted a member of the militia of Montana, notifying him that over television in the Los Angeles area, public service announcements were being broadcast telling the people not to be alarmed if they feel the earth shaking. Well, it's too late, that's why. The pilot also stated that the announcement explained that the government would be detonating explosions underground to test the fault lines. And you've all seen the propaganda on that coming up in October. If they don't budget by October, they're going to detonate between Seal Beach and Mojave all along there looking for faults, quote unquote. Item number three.
I bet they find them.
I wonder if they will. Item number three. On the afternoon of September 8, 1994, a gentleman who lives on the coast of Oregon notified us that the governments all along the coast were preparing for a disaster of major magnitude. This gentleman told us that everyone was preparing at this time. The feeling in his community is that it may happen any day. Item number four. The following is the article that J.B. Campbell wrote for the National Educator concerning the January 1994 quake in Los Angeles and reprinted in part in the periodical called Taking Aim, issue number three. And this is excellent. This is titled Another Look at Recent L.A. Quake. It has been some time since the L.A. quake occurred. However, a good friend of mine who is a columnist for the National Educator wrote an article that asked some serious questions as to whether the quake was actually a natural disaster. My friend has personal knowledge that earthquakes can be made to happen.
We need to turn the tape, Ed.